Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
So, neighbors.
Get prepped.
Yeah. Okay, because this happened, because this came up and we married the two, I'll talk about two things.
Okay.
All right, I want to talk about dinner with the neighbors, but I also want to talk about, Oscar's going to say to me that, you know, don't you realize it's always you? Yes, I know it's always me. It's always me that I always feel like this. I felt like this yesterday. I went out yesterday and I played with my boys, and I'm back to living the life that I wanted to when I moved down here, which is work and play in wonderful balance, and I love getting out there, even though I'm still in pain. I still love going out there and playing, and I think I'm going to get stronger. But I'm right now, I'm in the middle of like rehabbing, and my golf game is crapola. And you know, part
of
the
joy.
You had
a good round last week. Are you not consistent?
It was an aberration. The first one I had, the first one back. That's when I was like going, "Law." Now I'm trying hard, and it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible. I mean, I let me see if I'll hold my hand up.
All right.
And I'm going to show you an example as I'm golfing. I love golf. I have to say this, and I'm going to bore a lot of people here. But I'm going to show you with my hand the steadiness of my putting stroke. Okay. This is Mike O'Mara putting, standing over the ball, getting ready. Time to putt.
Oh, dear.
Moth-like.
I'm so yippy. It's terrible. But anyway, part of the joy of it is the socialization of it.
Sure.
And I come down here, and Oscar, I know what you're going to say. This is me. This is the inferiority thing. This is always in my head. But it is. And we're hanging out after the round, and a lot more people have arrived.
You're at the 19th hole?
And I'm sitting next to these people, and there's one guy that sits next to me, and the conversations are... They're civil. A guy actually bought me a beer yesterday afternoon after the round. But there is, to me, within my own mind, there's just this undercurrent of the fact that I am on the outside. I am on the out. I still feel like
after
the interloper.
After all this time.
I feel like
you've probably owned down there longer than most of the people that
you think are
the insiders.
I would guarantee you that I am the longest serving member. Maybe there are two, maybe three other guys that have been there longer than
Mike is the chaos generator.
Maybe.
Like,
you know what?
He needs chaos. You can't just enjoy it,
Mike,
and have fun.
When the Beatles were starting to have trouble.
They don't like me.
When the Beatles were starting to have trouble as an organization and they finally spoke, every one of them felt that they were the outsider. Ringo felt that the other three were tight, and John thought that the other three were tight. Mm-hmm. Maybe what you're feeling is common among everybody. Maybe you need to open up to them.
The thing about the... What do you mean open up? This is not a group you open up to.
I mean, when you have a beer and say, you know what, guys? I think we're a great team.
Yeah.
Okay. Or, why don't you come down? Why don't you come down, Arbuckle? And you can sit there, and you can come down, and you can hang out with the guys.
I embrace that nickname.
I know.
Or Arbuckle. You get the guys together and say, it's time for Trust Falls.
Yes, exactly.
No. See, this is, you don't get it.
Let's do an improv game.
This is not
yes and work. Gentlemen.
Yeah. Yes, and I feel excluded.
Yes, and global warming may not be real.
Yes, and I love Indiana.
Memories. I'm not telling you guys anything. I'm not telling you anything anymore. So it's just my feeling.
Yeah.
Can I get back to my neighbors, please?
Please.
So when you have these folks, and it started, of course, I have to give her credit, starts with my wife and the relationship of this lady next door, this wonderful lady, Diana, who is just super nice, and her husband's like a super smart guy, and he's an attorney, his name is Bruce, and they are, here's what I love about them, they're not like, I don't feel like outsiders. They're both from back east.
Okay.
And they come down here and they're like I was a few years back where they just pop in and this is their vacation place. They come down and they could not be nicer. And they just love life. And their story, because I did shut up and I did mostly listening that evening, their story is one of if I can be honest with you, and I hope I don't embarrass them, it's just, it's all about love and kindness and family and what they're about and who they support and their parents and their relationship and their kids. And they just are exemplary human beings, which I love being around that. I in my older years,
found
probably closer older, maybe, okay. I want to say. Hmm. But they're just exemplary, in my opinion. And those are the people I like being around, those kind of human beings.
Don't blow it.
Whereas in my 30s and my 20s, 30s, and 40s, I wanted to be around the bleh.
Sure.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, that's right. You wanted
that was
a jester.
My yeah.
Get on the boat, Shamrock.
Not Jeff Shamrock.
Oh, sorry.
Again, with that name.
I think I would have done better if I had gravitated toward... I think you will see with a lot of radio personalities and people that do what I do, in your younger days, for whatever reason, everybody gets into the business for a different reason, but you gravitate towards the flash and the fun.
Excitement.
And yes. the wine, women, and song, and it's not necessarily yes. a
fast
cool
cars
group
and fast women
be.
And fast drugs.
Woo! It's just not good. But now, woo! I like... Let's do a line.
Woo! Love Wednesdays.
So it's nice. You bastards.
But this is terrific because you have corrected your outlook.
Yes, and not I don't only even know where I am in the show.
You right have now, found a couple that fulfills what you now deem as important.
No, and that's it's not great. That I now deem it. I've always probably known it's important. It's just nice to be around nice people. Mm. It's really, really nice to be around nice people that aren't prickly and you know,
when you find someone that is a genuine good person,
mm-hmm. it's great.
It's so rare. And
it's
you actually
so rare.
Like make the effort to be friends with them.
Yes.
It's so
rare. Oh, it's
rare.
So fulfilling.
And I consider, and this is, I am going now on a series of Next
the
Door
Colburns.
Neighbors. Where yes. where I have, where the, you know, you remember Richard up in
Richard
up in Manassas?
Ruled, yes.
So technically, even though they're part-timers, I consider myself once again, I've hit the jackpot with people that are next door neighbors. It's where
lucky.
there's not just a friendly relationship, there is esteem.
Yeah.
And that is a blessing if you have a neighbor. Because, you know, I've seen, I saw the Samuel L. Jackson movie, you know, where he's the LA cop.
I oh, yes.
I watched that just the other night. I forgot what that's
or
called.
Or Disturbia.
Disturbia.
Now, those aren't good neighbors.
A lot of great movies. So the long and short of it, I like it. And during the dinner, they're from New Jersey, and they like
what town?
Traditional. I don't remember. I'm not sure.
Morristown?
But they, no, I don't know. Oh, I don't know what the,
sense, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the
what
town
exit?
You see,
Jesus
you gotta
Christ,
let him go
I don't
by.
Know what the town is.
Gotta let him fly by.
Don't know what the town is.
Yeah.
But they like traditional like Italian food. And when we
sure.
went over there for dinner, she made this just amazing Italian food. And they like to eat and drink. And she ordered Italian food. And I ordered a piece of fish. And when her entree came, the quality of the Italian food was just wafting up my nostrils. And I had immediate food envy. And she's very fit and she exercises. But she ordered this incredibly like food that it was all I could do to say, excuse me, there's a fly on the wall, and grab her plate and switch plates because I wanted to
yes,
eat what she
was eating.
Yes,
and can I have your dinner?
Also, a tell of Mike's is he ordered the fish.
Why is that
you
a
know,
tell?
He didn't want to order the fish.
No, that was coaching.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I didn't want to, well, I wanted to listen and eat fish.
Yes.
And that's your new book, isn't it?
You can get no, you was on. Putting your best foot forward is what you were doing.
I was allowed to, you know, as far as a beverage is concerned, I was allowed to have an Old Standard, and I did that.
Which is?
With abundance. So I visited my friend, Mr. Jameson.
Oh!
And I was behaved. I was behaved. Although, I will tell you, there were multiple of those, and then a Grand Marnier after dinner, which is one of my go-tos, and then she ordered a Kahlua drink. And once again, I was just, you know, she's thinner and better, you know, she's better conditioned by on every measure than I am, and I'm uh-huh. looking over at that, and I'm just jealous all night long. So I got home after having probably two more than I should have.
Right.
And it was still relatively early. It was like, you know, we ate super early. We're probably home by 9 o'clock. And I realized that we had Kahlua in
really?
The liquor cabinet.
Because
and
when
they also
you gave me your liquor cabinet Manassas, I think there was three bottles of Kahlua that I got.
I Carla made, I wanted to have a Kahlua last night and she wouldn't allow me.
Oh.
So you know how many calories are in Kahlua? You know how many calories? You got to stop and listen. Your son's got T-ball on Saturday. You got to stop and listen. You know Kahlua. Don't have that.
Are coach
you
just, Carla. I mean, really?
Yes. On Coach Saturday.
Carla. Coach. My coach. So I had that, and I had, and let me tell you something. When you end the night with that particular beverage, you're doomed. Because you wake up in the morning and it's like you ate a chocolate sundae at 2:00
in the morning.
Oh, no. Did you mix it with...
It's too sweet.
Did you mix it with anything?
No, just milk.
Ice? Oh, just milk. Okay.
Ice and milk. Mm. It was, and then they talked about 43. Have you ever heard of that? It's apparently some liqueur that's in a Caribbean country.
Yeah, I looked that 43. Man.
Not the president.
Is it like a 43 proof... liquor?
I don't know. I don't think 43 proof.
43 ingredients?
If it's 43%
alcohol, proof wouldn't be that much.
You're
alcohol.
Right. 43 and me?
43% alcohol would be slightly higher.
Your DNA for your alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what proof is alcohol content?
Yeah,
isn't
but
it?
Proof is double the percentage of the alcohol. So if something is 80 proof, it's 40% alcohol.
So if it was 43, if it was 86% alcohol?
Yeah, it would be a little higher than standard.
Is it from Mexico?
I don't
Licor
know where it's from.
43.
It's called 43.
Yes.
Anybody ever hear of it?
Licor. All I found is liquor. Licor 43.
Licor 43? Is it called Licor 43?
Yeah, and it has a big 43 on the label.
Does it say anything about it?
It's a Spanish liqueur.
Yeah. Really?
It's from. It's made from citrus and fruit juices, flavored with vanilla and other aromatic herbs and spices.
There we are.
For
no
a total
wonder I
of 43 different ingredients made for fatties.
It's 62 proof. It is 62 proof, so it's a liqueur. It's not as hard as, say, a whiskey or a scotch.
Pony?
Yes?
Bring it to me.
Yes.
No, anyway,
make it so.
Do you like the Mike O'Mara bonus show? I've been a big fan of the regular show ever since it was on Terrestrial. But I think the bonus show is the group's undisputed masterpiece. It's an epic meditation on intangibility. At the same time, it deepens and enriches the meaning of the regular show. Listen to the brilliant ensemble playing of O'Mara, Spiewak, and Santana. The show is extremely uplifting. It's as positive and affirmative as anything I've heard in a podcast. The TMOS bonus show. Don't just stare at it, buy it.
The best of O'Mara.
Matt, are you going to Vegas or are you in Europe that week?
Hell yeah, I'm going to Vegas.
Okay, that's good. For the show or just on vacation?
Great question.
I'd love to see you there.
Staying at the Venetian, so you know, channel
naturally.
My Italy again.
Oh, really? Oh, I guess we had our hotel room back.
You know, I think you'll have a good time there. As I recall, very low room rates at the Venetian. Didn't we stay there for about 15 days once?
Oh, my God. The worst fiscal
It was
decision.
Eight nights.
We thought, so we, just quick sidebar. So we go to CES. And
the Consumer Electronics Show.
And this is early on. This is what? This is 5 years ago.
It was 2013, I think.
13? Seven years ago?
No, you know what it was? It was New Year. It was right around New Year's of 14.
Okay.
So five years ago.
You're 5 years ago.
Yeah, you're right.
We get that. So we get an internal room rate for CES because we are broadcasting from there. And I wouldn't say that it's my fault or Mike's fault. It's really our Rube side of the business where.
Wouldn't that make it our time, Mr. Hans?
Internal rates. They're great, but for our little show, they're still high.
Yes.
And we didn't think of not staying in the hotel that the convention was being held in. It's at the Las Vegas Convention Center, but you have designated hotels as there
and
are exhibits inside the hotel.
They all have the same shuttle service. And also a little if we're doing an outline of why this was a bad idea, the A period under what you just said is even the lowest hotel rate is expensive when you stay eight nights.
So when that happened, it really became like, okay, we're getting the internal rate. I guess this is better than anyone else. No one wanted to hotwire when they got there. We're like, I wonder where we're going to stay. We're not going to do that with Mike O'Mara on the line. He's going to have a cow. So I remember getting that bill and then saying, my God.
Yes.
This was a bad mistake, bad move. The CES conference was fantastic.
It was so much fun.
You just go for 3 days. You don't stay for the week.
Yeah. One night, maybe.
I mean, getting to the shows was nuts.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I can't believe it. One night I spent the night at the Hard Rock, not even our hotel.
I remember that.
Because I was gambling into the depths of the night.
I remember one of our listeners said there's a Hofbräuhaus there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like the third stop of the night.
Yeah.
And because he kept texting me, you got to come to the Hofbräuhaus. Yeah. And I got there. And he told me that after the fact, he said, I looked at you and said, you're not going to remember this. And you know what? I didn't remember it.
It's nuts.
It was a crazy, crazy night. There's two pictures. There's a picture of us flying there, me, you, and Pony in a row on a plane, and coming back. And coming back, it looks like the after effects of a meth addiction.
It was horrible.
Oh, my God. It was the worst flight. You really looked dead.
Oh, I felt dead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I brought up death again.
It's okay.
Okay. Real quick.
Yes, please.
We have a new feature that we've been doing this week, and now I've got a production element, so I think you're going to like this, Oscar. The fact is, I have too many albums.
Oh.
So what we have is something called the Vinyl Countdown.
Yes.
And I have a winner. Now, I'm going to need her to do a follow-up email.
Okay.
Because she did not include her address. I can't email the record
store. Are we eating the postage on these things?
We are.
Yeah.
But we're selling them the cheapest we can.
Like
Christmas.
Okay. You know, we have stamps.com, and they're great at that.
Okay, thank you. Thank
Very
you.
Good. This one reads, hey, Pony, can I be on the record list? Very generous of Oscar to give away Rob's records.
I'm just trying to help you out.
And you know what? It all works out, okay. Doesn't it? Love you guys. Kim Squara. I think that's S-K-W-A-R-A, Squara. And I put together a wonderful prize pack for her. Here's what we have.
Okay. Let me see this.
You can read her the LP if you like.
Why don't you start with The Little Guy?
The Little Guy is the 45 RPM Records. This is on A&M Records, a number one hit, I believe. We've Only Just Begun by The Carpenters.
Why do your little 45s, they never have covers?
Because
they not come with album covers?
Well, here's something about they do, but when you have many of them and you stack them, what you don't know, the label on a 45 is wider than the vinyl, so you can stack them and they won't scratch.
That's why they say stacks and stacks of wax.
Stacks and stacks of wax. Wow. So this is actually in really good shape, and it's a first press. And then also an original Atco 45 Blues Image Ride Captain Ride on My Mystery Ship.
All right.
Two great top 40 smashes.
You've got two 45s and then one LP.
A 33 RPM RP.
I don't know what they're called. A regular record.
An album. A long player, as the Beatles would say.
The Ray Conniff.
Ray Conniff singers.
Oh, is it singers too? The Ray Conniff singers. There's a lot of text.
You want to read some of the hits?
Speak to Me, My Love.
Yes.
Is on one side. Oh my God, there's a lot of guys.
Well, those are the singers.
Oh, but they only show Ray.
Oh, well, I mean, all those singers are that's not on the cover, is like artwork.
Okay.
That's the two lovers that are listening to the LP and will probably have sex.
Oh, wow.
But the Ray Conniff, he's a sort of a cornerstone of easy listening in the 1960s.
Great.
Big movie mover of the easy listening.
Ray Conniff.
You would know it. Lots of people singing, lots of reverb.
Okay.
Mood music.
Yeah, but this is fun.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
And that's how you play the Vinyl Countdown.
Rob's Records.
That's right.
Vinyl Countdown.
I like how she said, it's nice of Oscar to be giving away Rob's things.
When I did it, I know if he's a hoarder, he can barely get his fridge in the downstairs. We got to move some stuff.
Things have to change. And you know what? We made it all work. But you know, while we're talking about it, it's not about me.
Ooh.
It's all about you.
It is Tuesday.
Tuesday's birthdays.
Woo!
And I hold in my hand the letters right here.
Please.
But we start actually with a gift.
Oh, I love gifts.
And it comes in an envelope. It says, a gift for Rob.
Oh.
And he underlined the second B because you know he meant it. So I thought that was very nice.
I love it when Rob gets gifts.
Do
and
you?
Oscar doesn't.
Well, you were very specific about what you wanted. Gift
cards. Yeah, I wanted $50 gift cards, if not.
Gift cards in excess of 50.
A 50.
Anything else?
Or 225s technically make a 50, so I'll take 225s.
Do they have to be the same place? Like a 25 to Starbucks and a 25 to like our curry?
Okay, that works.
Okay. Glad to know you're bending the rules.
That works.
Hello, Rob.
More like, what about a 25 to Starbucks and 25 to CVS?
I'd like that.
Yeah, that would work.
All right. You can go buy some dental floss.
Anything. Yeah. They've got everything.
Toothpicks. Washington, D.C. souvenirs.
I would love all that.
Don't you love
milk? They have no milk. For 2 weeks, they've been out of milk.
Yeah, the freezer's busted.
Oh, you got to keep milk cold.
The fridge is busted out there.
Yeah. I like that end cap that has all the Washington, D.C. souvenirs. Yeah.
It's like we're tourists.
Like a pennant. Hey, what's that? Pencil sharpener? I'm in. Hello, Rob. That's what the letter reads. I was listening to a Best of Bonus show recently, and I like occasionally Pony will put together a Best of out of all bonus content.
Yes,
good job, Pony. Recently, and recalled the tale regarding your car battery jumping logistics nightmare early one morning. Sad. I remember my wife got stuck at the gas station at like 5:45.
I don't see those diehard commercials anymore.
Well, Bruce Willis hasn't made a movie forever.
No, but the Die Hard, I'm talking about the Die Hard battery.
Oh, the battery. Yeah. Sad. I thought about your ordeal and realized that I had one of these items that improved my process of jumping a car and figured after your fiasco, this would be something you could definitely benefit from. Gone now are the days of having to coordinate cars and drivers to jump a car, and you can do it by yourself with this handy little item. May your lawn and, more importantly, your stress levels be at ease. Please open box now.
Ooh, this is a gift. Is it heavy?
It is. I'll let you hold it, actually. It's
let me see.
A beat or beat it. What does it say?
It's
beat it?
Beat it.
The great thing about this device is it has a built-in flashlight. There are USB ports that you can use to charge any device that will take a USB connection. You can charge... Oh, it's like an external battery.
It?
Yeah, please.
All right, perfect.
You can charge it by plugging it into a regular USB port.
Looks like something that's very expensive.
Did I mention it can charge a car battery and help jumpstart a car?
Right, the size of an external battery for... you know, it's the size of a cell phone is what it is.
Yeah. Wow. That's powerful enough to jumpstart a car?
Wow.
Huh. How about keep it in your car and never leave home without it? Truthfully, not just for its versatility, but I find these little portable car chargers work better than your traditional jumper cables when you jumpstart a car.
This is for a car. Oh, my God. It's got a little car icon on it.
Yeah. That's amazing.
If we still did Tech 411, we would cover this guy.
That's Tech 411 wonderful.
411.
Yeah. Hope you'll never have to run into that vexing scenario again, although it did make for a great show content. But if you do, I hope you benefit from having this. And if you already have
that's
one
really
of these,
nice.
I don't. Please pass it along to one of your peers who does not and can benefit from it. All the best, Andreas Owald. Andreas Owald.
This is so sweet.
More gifts to come for other members of the podcast. So that's good for you, Oscar. Thank you, Andreas.
Look at this.
That's going to, you know what?
There's a flashlight on the back.
I'm going to put that
app.
I'm going to put that in my Kia Sorento, and the next time I hit a bird, I'll have it ready.
I'm going to open the, oh my God, it's got cables for
accessories?
The jump.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Damn.
Well, that's very kind. It's always nice to be thought of. Thank you.
Very kind.
Please welcome your newest listener and my first grandchild. How sweet is that? I love when we have a new listener, especially when we can welcome them to our world. Her name is Abigail Elizabeth Abby Mittman, born on July 30th. Well, her parents don't listen, but I'm hoping she will skip a generation and be your new youngest
listener. That's sweet. Congratulations.
By the way, Shoppers grocery stores are alive and well here in Prince George's County.
Oh, they're still there?
I guess there's a few of them. There are even two in Mike's old stomping ground, Laurel.
Holding tight.
Yes, very nice. The stores will close eventually, but the county executives is putting up a fight, noting that they are the only grocery stores in certain parts of the county. Ah, so they're keeping them there as a protection. That makes sense. Happily, we also have Harris Teeter and Giant to choose from in my area. Your mom, of course, calls Giant.
Giant,
of course.
I'm sorry. I was thinking about the Shoppers still open.
Yeah, some colossal donuts.
Well, if a neighborhood doesn't have a grocery store, why would you close the only grocery store available?
That's why they're keeping it open.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. In my eyes, we are so spoiled in society that we don't know that world.
That's true.
You know, think about it. Trader Joe's, Whole Foods across the street's been closed forever. We're like, Safeway's on the street.
Yeah. You know who hates that? The rats. Also, we're close enough to Montgomery County that we can shop there. Love the show. Debbie Mittman, a P1 since the beginning. Thank you, Debbie. Congratulations, Grandma. Hey, Rob, sorry to bother you on a weekend, but that soy sauce sesame oil recipe you do on chicken thighs that Robert loves so bad, I can't find where I wrote it down. Would you please remind me what recipe it was? Thank you, Steve Kelsey. Easy. Roughly equal parts of soy sauce and sesame oil and a generous tablespoon or whatever, how much you want, to invoke the flavor of your favorite barbecue rub.
Okay.
And then marinate your chicken thighs in it overnight. Grill them until they're done.
Yes.
And it has a wonderful Southern Asian fusion taste.
Make enough for everyone.
And for me, you're going to have to make a lot. Go ahead and say it, Oscar. Eight.
He ate eight of the thighs. I thought it was nine.
What you do is you eat until you're full.
Nine thighs.
And then you're done eating for the day.
Mm.
Hey, guys, here's a fun Elvis fact.
Okay.
Who's the only non-Presley that has been upstairs in the Graceland Mansion since 1977? I did not know this.
Ooh.
Nicolas Cage.
Really?
Yeah, because he was Mr. Married. Lisa Marie.
Wow.
Fun, right? Love
surreal.
Twitch. It's from Mark Riddell.
Mark, keep posting, man.
Love it.
I love your picks.
Rob, do you have a recommendation for record cleaning supplies? Ah, we just gave away some records. I recently ordered a turntable and bookshelf speakers per your specifications. What do you use to keep your stacks of wax gleaming? Thanks, Jim Anderson. Jim, go to Walmart through the Mike O'Mara Show site and get the AudioVox Electronics 21 Disc Washer D4 set.
Stacks and stacks of wax.
Available through Walmart, and they will ship it right to your door. You'll love it. So, another birthday rolls around tomorrow. My annual birthday bag is a visit from Tom Brokaw. poor guy. Our resident Tom Brokaw is not here. So if Tom could talk up a record, my year would be off to an excellent start, and I will buy 2 fruitcakes in joyful response. Thanks so much, Jim Shaffron. Now, in the absence of Mike, I know that we have a cunning impressionist in the next room.
Oh, my God.
Tony, would you please talk up a record as Tom Brokaw?
I'll give it a shot.
Attaboy. That's the attitude. Rockin' you, rockin' you, we're going to Rickroll you, okay? Yeah. Washington's best music,
WAVA. Tom Brokaw here, talking up Rick Ross being Rickrolled this morning. WAVA, we're never going to give you up. We're never going to let you down. Here's Rick Ross to sing for you.
Oh, not bad.
So close.
Except it's Rick Astley.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not going to stop him.
That's fine.
If he did that, he would definitely get a call on the hotline.
Not bad, though.
Hey, man, that's not Rick Ross. That's Rick Astley.
Not terrible.
No, I will give it to him. B+, I think, right there.
C.
All right. I wanted to make sure you saw this article. Dateline British Columbia. Teacher suspended after showing students inappropriate videos.
Oh, no.
All right. A British Columbian teacher has given a 2-day suspension after showing films in his classroom students described as creepy. According for the Teacher Regulation Commission, the teacher was teaching a grade 7/8 class when he showed students 3 inappropriate short films. One was called Salad Fingers.
Oh, no.
And featured an animated character who says, "The feeling of rust against my salad fingers is almost orgasmic, and I must caress your rusty kettle."
Wrong clip, sir.
Yeah,
wrong
not
clip.
Good. According to the content resolution agreement, he conceded they were creepy, weird, and inappropriate.
Salad fingers can be inappropriate without sexuality.
Yeah, it's just not right. Yeah, yeah. It's not right. I like this. This is an addendum to it, that the teacher also spoke to students about his divorce, how much it costs, and the fact that he was dating a woman from overseas.
Mm.
How about that?
Dark day. We've all had them.
Signed, Simon Trasky, Chilliwack, British Columbia, Canada.
At least it wasn't anything adult, right?
That happened in my high school.
I heard by accident, right?
Yeah, and they later found out the tape had been taped over and the teacher had been set up. Yeah, but it was not a good scenario. Lives on. I bet it comes up at the 30th reunion. Good story. Greetings and salutations, dear TMOS friends. I wanted to give you an update on the case of the forgotten fruitcake. After hearing the mailbag, I made sure to get home and get after that fruitcake with no delay. Addendum from me, the editor. He talks like this has been on our mind. Okay. Like we need an... I don't know this story. All right. Much to my surprise, and most likely Mike's delight, I found that the fruitcake had indeed been stored in that one corner of the fridge that manages to freeze things. Saints be praised!
Perfect.
The fruitcake was saved. I thought out a bit to get 2 separate experiences out of 1 fruitcake. 1 frozen, 1 thawed. For a first-time fruitcaker, I was very pleased. To my inexperienced palate, parts of the fruitcake reminded me of a heavier spice, delicious oatmeal cookie.
Oh, wow.
I'll give him that. That's pretty good. Now I see that the Fruitcake Frenzy 2019 is underway, so I'll be purchasing another 1 or 2 for this holiday season. Thanks for opening my eyes and stomach to a whole new world of flavor. All the best, Bill, a.k.a. William J. Wolf III.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Lovely. I'm glad he found his fruitcake. Yeah.
You can grab a new one fresh off the shelf, as we haven't baked them yet, but pre-order now.
Was in touch with our kitchen, by the way. She's busy.
Bitchin' Kitchen?
Our Bitchin' Fruitcake Kitchen.
Yes.
She's doing a baking camp for kids over this summer.
Cool.
So she's having a great time. Had a good talk with her, and we're looking forward to going in and having her teach us how to crack eggs again.
Oh, nice.
She's an expert egg cracker.
Really?
Oh, she's great.
I think Shannon told me something about that.
Both hands.
Oh.
She flies. She saw me and Pony cracking eggs, and it was like...
It's like that claw machine at a bowling alley.
That's what she said. She said, please, stop that.
I'll do that.
All right, I hold in my hand the final letter.
Final letter.
It's a lengthy one.
Okay.
And it's addressed to you.
Dear Casey.
Dear Oscar, I've been listening since the WAVA days, and this is my first letter to you folks. I've shared a couple jokes with Rob and several cigarettes with Mike outside Jimmy's over the years. First, I have to thank you for literally saving my life a couple times during dark periods years ago. I could expound, but this, my friends, is a letter of celebration.
Oh.
I'm toasting the fact that Oscar has discovered that there is a river in D.C.
Yes.
I've been silently stewing for months now, listening to Oscar drone on about how bored he is with D.C., listing it as one of the most unfun places in the country. Mm. My last job before I became a business owner was 15 years of travel, sometimes 5 cities a week. And I have to ask Oscar, has he ever been to Alabama, Arkansas, Connecticut, Delaware, Idaho, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Northern Louisiana, Michigan?
Oh.
Have you?
No.
Mississippi?
Nope.
I had to flip the page. Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, etc.
New Jersey, New Hampshire.
They might have a Wawa, and they might have an In-N-Out burger, but they don't have 16 Michelin star restaurants like my city. We've won Best Food in America by Bon Appetit and similar magazines for the past 2 years. Mm. Hooray for D.C. When Shake Shack wanted to expand from New York City, it came here. Amazon picked here. This isn't 1983, where fun in D.C. was secrets, good guys, and crack.
Mm.
What about Renaissance?
No.
We have proper strip clubs now.
Well,
we have.
I learned about a new one this weekend.
Really?
I didn't go to it, but I heard about it.
That's good.
Yeah, it's called, I think, the Excalibur? No. Not Excalibur. It's something, not the Stadium Club, it's or like the Elite Club.
Oh, it sounds great.
Didn't even know about it.
I heard the food is great.
So I'm so out of the loop in the strip club game.
Yes.
I did not know about it.
Well, you know what? You need to redouble your efforts.
No, I hadn't heard about that. It's crazy.
We have proper strip clubs now. We have Patton Oswalt book signings, Dave Chappelle 6-hour concerts, Dave Grohl playing his wireless guitar from atop the bar of the 930 Club, which has been voted the best music venue in the country by Rolling Stone forever. Numerous television shows dedicated to our housewives, restaurants, cupcakes, politics, jazz clubs, salsa clubs, classical concerts, the Smithsonian, plus speakeasies, kickball, softball, volleyball, soccer, basketball. The list goes on. This is literally off the top of my head. But too cool for school, workaholic yuppie boy, couldn't find anything to do in Georgetown until he figured out all those boats on the river were people having fun.
Okay. Sir, let me...
One more sentence. I'm sorry. About time. Stop running down mine and your hometown. Sorry this had to be said. Love you, folks. Brian from, obviously, Washington, D.C. Do you have a word for Brian?
Yes. Brian, you seem like you're in the know. I got a friend named David last week. He's leaving roughly the end of September. I saw him this weekend again. Really nice guy.
Yeah.
When he is out, I'm going to need a new guy in my life. Because Todd, I don't know what he's doing. Probably moving back to Florida. Do you want to be friends?
Hey.
And if you want to be friends, you can teach me about all these wonderful things. The 930 Club, I'm jaded. I'm working for WHFS. We went to too many concerts where now it feels like work.
Yeah, but he's talking about these salsa clubs.
Well, I'm not going to do salsa either.
I don't know if he's talking about the dance or the dip.
I take the dip.
They're both great.
But I this is the hard part for me.
Yes.
I need friends that want to do things. And my friends that I know now, I see at work all the time, and they don't want to come to the city.
You need proactive friends.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, tell me what's happening, and I'm probably going to drop everything and go now that I have a little more time in my life.
So this is really what he was. He wrote a lengthy letter disparaging you, and you're reaching the hand of friendship.
And odds are, I'll get hammered and pay for everything. That's usually what happens.
This is what happens. Yes. I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
So good for you, Brian.
Yeah,
see
you
at the Salsa Club.
He insulted me, and then I begged for his friendship.
Do you think he'll come around?
That depends. It's up to him.
And I do take a drink. I had one thing. Yeah. We still have good guys in crack.
Well, good guys is here.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's fun.
I'm sure there are drugs as well.
Oscar.
There are rats everywhere in the city, sir. You cannot deny that.
What have I always told you? Yeah. Fun is where you find it.
Look, I love the city. I see a lot of rats running around. Don't know what the city's doing about it.
Oscar, it is your father.
I listen to The Mike Show.
The Mike Show!
And then,
The Mike Show!
There is a segment on The Mike Show where you talked about me dying and the list you gave me.
I am disappointed in you.
Am I your payaso? So it means, am I your clown?
Oh,
am I your clown, right, in Spanish?
Am I your clown?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it sounds worse in Spanish.
Yeah, payaso.
Like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Your brother is being pushy. Tell him to back off.
Say hello to my little friend!
Don't be un payaso. The TMOS Bonus Show is an extra uncensored hour of La Diversion. Every week, order a subscription today by clicking the banner at MikeOmeraShow.com, and you'll have a plethora of the Mike Bonus Show.
Payaso.
The best of O'Mara.
Now, here's what I have never seen you so excited about something old. You're about stuff that's new. I'm an old thing guy, so you probably...
Old stuff can buy new stuff.
See, that's what's so crazy. You are so in... That's
I'm like, oh, that's an iPad.
You're into the conversion factor.
Well, this is the way I look. In full transparency.
Yes.
And you can attest to this. When we were in between breaks in the opening of the show, I said, Charlie, you can get all these back. And I said, I really, in my heart, it means to me, like, even if these are worth like $100, right?
Yeah.
He should just save these for his kids. The idea that.
My thought on it is this.
Or his kids' kids.
And there are certain people, principles in my life that have encouraged me to sell some of the things I have, because I've bought things that have appreciated. I'm getting older. My jukebox is worth more than when I paid for it. My microphones have doubled in value since I bought them. Mm-hmm. And she says we should sell them.
Yes.
And it's like, if it's not going to be transformative income, I'm saying if it's under like $1,000, mm-hmm. or I mean, even $5,000. $5,000 would be nice to have, but it's not going to change our lifestyle.
Okay.
And so I don't see any reason, and that's where I see these pennies. This is a nice thing to have that's going to continue to appreciate. And what a lovely keepsake for Charlie's kids and their kids ultimately to say, these were my great great grandfather's coins.
So I agree with your wife. I didn't sell everything.
I didn't say it was her. I was very careful.
Because $5,000 is transformative, and it that would change a lot of people's life. I'm saying are worth $100, then that's not that big a deal.
But what I'm saying is this, that $5,000 is not a one-time influx of $5,000 is not going to change overall the style of the way you live.
Okay. Yeah, it depends. It all depends on the situation.
I guess it is. Okay.
It is. I think you're probably, this is the way I look at it. You are probably not the best person to think about like what an impact certain dollars can make.
You're right. You're right.
Because but you look at money in a different way. Not because you're wealthy. It's because you just don't manage the money.
I can speak to my feelings though.
Well, of course.
And so,
it's priceless, the idea to you that you could leave something to your kids.
Right.
And that's priceless to you.
And so I have certain things, certain tangible objects. It's probably not a healthy relationship I have with them.
That's what I wanted to clarify. A lot of people have an emotional connection to certain collector's items that they have because they're collector's items.
But there are things that when I see, they mean a lot to me. They might have belonged to someone before me that I know, something that brings me great joy or something that I've restored
myself. And
that's
different in value monetary-wise.
Right, you have to put a price on that.
Because, I guess maybe I'm passionate about this because I'm going through this with my mom. Where there's a bunch.
You can't put a price on a mother.
There's a bunch of stuff we're trying to get rid of. Not the new QVC stuff she gets in.
But to be clear, you're not getting rid of her.
No. Okay. And she has this emotional connection. And it's not that she's on the brink of being on Hoarders, but.
What is she connected to? What are the things that she's connected to that surprise you?
It's this old furniture we brought from Bolivia.
See, I can understand that.
But my brother is in Boston.
Right.
My sister is in Los Angeles.
Right.
I don't have room for furniture.
Mm-hmm.
So she always thinks that someone else is going to be able to use it.
I see.
So the value for her is like, you won't have to buy this because I have it.
But she's going to hold on to it until the end and then you get it?
Well, I don't want it.
I know.
We want to start getting that out now.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this wonderful service that's on an advertiser here on the show that you can send stuff to storage.
Right.
Right? So I said, look, I'm just saying you don't need it in the house. You need it somewhere else.
You're making her do the baby steps.
Yes, because look, she's not on the brink of Hoarders again, but I know where this is all going to fall to when she has to move somewhere, or God willing, we can move her into an in-law suite if we ever have that growing up. Or she moves to Boston or Los Angeles, that onus comes on me.
So you probably,
nobody else is here, so I want to get ahead of this.
You have
work.
A geographical disadvantage.
Yes, which I'm fine. I want to help my mom out.
Sure.
But we have this conversation on a regular basis where I'm like, Mom, you got to... But then she's like, that's worth X amount of dollars. I'm like, Mom, you could use that money for whatever you want.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is yours now.
Right.
Like, so the, I guess the mindset of saying, oh, if it's not going to be transformative dollars...
Right.
It all depends on what you're going to do with that money.
And I think that is tempered with the fact if you put a value on its sentimental attachment.
Yes.
I mean, I got things that if I lost them, I wouldn't care. You know,
because what's the adage? It's only worth what someone will pay.
That's precisely right.
So you said that you bought a handful of microphones before, I guess, this microphone boom.
Yeah, it was. That's a good pun, by the way. At the onset of eBay.
Okay.
And there was people just trying to get rid of stuff.
Because they didn't know any better.
And they didn't know. But then, you know what? People get smarter and people get smarter. And I got lucky on a couple purchases. And I've got a lovely collection that is worth a lot more than what I paid for.
What about the jukebox?
The jukebox I got on a very lucky deal. Now, a jukebox is a funny thing because they're almost impossible to transport, incredibly heavy, lots of glass, and lots of delicate machinery inside.
How did you transport it?
I had to jump because it was being sold that day. I did a quick internet search on how to lock down the mechanism, and I...
So if you can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah, but I could do it, but I would not be comfortable shipping it like across the country.
No, but they would pay for a professional come and create it and move along.
It is sellable. It is sellable.
Yes.
Yeah. But
see how many roadblocks you put up before you even got to the point of maybe I would sell it. You're like, it's hard to sell. No, there are companies, and I know this. I've learned this. I would imagine in the past 5 years when we buy things over not overseas, but across the country.
Right.
You can pay companies to go create something professionally,
insure
it, and pull it out.
Yes. But that is not, that's, you know, but it's also not like selling a book that you just drop into a priority mailbox and say. So there's more involved.
How much could you get for your jukebox right now on the open market?
I would say probably $15,000 to $2,000. And I paid, I think,
$1,500 to $2,000?
Yeah. And I think I paid about $700 for it.
Why didn't you make it seem like it was a $15,000 jukebox?
I didn't seem anything of the sight.
Bonnie, didn't you think it was going to be?
Yeah, I mean, it would probably cost that much just to ship it.
No one's going to buy that thing.
No. Someone would love to have it. And
who?
Someone who appreciates beauty and music and classic American design.
Your treasures are not treasures.
They're treasures to me.
That's true.
That For example, true. There are people that value you greatly.
No, they don't. People hate me. It's fine.
Well, that's true, too.
Look, but $1,700 to $2,000.
Again, it's worth what someone would pay for it.
Okay, now I understand what you're talking about. Because if you're like, Carrie, if we sold the jukebox, it's $2,000. I'll be miserable.
Yeah.
My happiness is worth more than $2,000.
Well, it depends on who you ask. But to me, yes, my happiness is worth more than $2,000.
That's the root of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, I mean, it is something that I keep it on all the time because it glows with lovely light. And that's the first thing I see when I come downstairs in the morning. It means the world
totally
to me.
Totally get that.
Right.
I was under the impression, per your early line of,
but I do. You know what? Let me see if one is listed now. I'll see what it's at.
My line. I thought you bought this thing for like $1,000, and it was worth $15,000. And I was like, whoa.
It does have a small. It has an appreciative value, and here's why. And this is a little bit in the weeds, so I'll keep it very brief.
No, there are people listening right now that are cursing me and rooting for you. So let's figure that out.
Here's the my jukebox. The brand is a Wurlitzer. Great company that made jukeboxes.
Used to break. There aren't that many because they used to trash the ones.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's the story is the fact that it was such a valuable commodity, people wouldn't buy new ones because they were afraid their competitors would grab the old ones. It would make people go to their bar or restaurant or whatever. So Wurlitzer offered the service, buy a new jukebox. We will, in your presence, destroy your jukebox for you so no one else can have it. The reason that mine existed is that mine was not in a tavern or a bar. Mine lived in a record store for its early life. So it stayed around. And it was also, it wasn't around cigarette smoke. No beer was spilled in it because it was in a record store. So for something that is a 1960s, making 57 years old.
Yeah, let's say mint condition. You look that up.
All right, I am. All right,
I will pad here.
Okay, thank you.
The most valuable collectible I have is a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, Upper Deck, 1989, and it might be worth $70. And I'll say that when I bought it for $50 22 years ago,
right?
I think at a card shop, House of Cards, Wheaton, Maryland. They gouged me.
It was owned by Kevin Spacey, wasn't it?
I bought it for probably $50, thinking, this is going to be $120. It may be more than that. But I really didn't realize that there were so many of these and the bottom was going to fall out like a stock market crash of the Beckett Monthly where you get all your pricing.
Right.
That to this day, I have so many cards in my parents' old home in my bedroom that I sit there, I'm like, so many hours wasted.
Well, yeah, but
so many card shows.
But you loved it.
I bought a crinkled up Wade Boggs card once because I couldn't afford something. And I was like, I'll take that ripped card, sir.
Was the card crinkled or was Wade crinkled?
Wade it was Wade as a Red Sox and not a Yankee.
Right.
I just remember seeing it. And I was like, man, that one's worth like $150 at that point.
Right.
Mint condition. This one's torn. I'll buy it for $40.
Yeah.
What a dummy.
Like somehow you're going to be able to restore it?
Oh, God.
No chance.
So upsetting.
You know what? And that person, I tell you what, there is a beauty to that story. Whoever sold that card had a great day.
Well, it's always these. I just remember going up there and just being a little kid because my dad would take me to these card shops, our card shows. And he would sit outside the card show because it's too cheap to pay to go in. So he would be in the lobby reading the Washington Post.
So that's fun.
And then I have to ferry myself in there. Hopefully, as my mom would say, no dejen que toquen tu cosita. Don't let them touch your thingy.
That's right.
So I'm a little kid, walk around my little short shorts and like tank top, wheeling and dealing with these grown men. They're taking advantage of me left and right. And then I'd run outside.
That's what happens when you go to House of Cards owned by Kevin Spacey.
Yeah. I'd make these deals.
Right.
not in flesh, but for dollars.
Deals in flesh.
And I'd scurry out to the front of the card show and be like, hey, Dad, I need $22 for this card. I give him the value proposition and say, this is why I think this is a good deal. Then I'd be like, and then I want to buy this a set of 1987 Donruss cards, if that's possible.
I hated Donruss cards. Yeah, tops.
Rube cards. And then I'd lay it all out and be like, okay. Pick, and then after all that pitch, like a TED Talk, he would say, now pick one and tell me why that one's better than the other deals. And then I'd sit there, and then I'd have to tell him why that. And then by the time I get back, the man I just made a deal with 30 minutes ago was like, what? I'm like, oh no, remember we talked about this?
We're packing up, kid.
Yeah. He's like, all right, cash credit. I was like, I got my dad's credit card, and his eyes would light up.
Sure.
And that would be it.
So we're looking, actually, I lowballed it, $3,500 to $4,000. And those are ones that are selling at $3,500 that don't look as good as mine. So.
What could $3,500 for your daughter's tuition to college do for her?
It would probably allow her to pay for most of her sophomore year.
See?
And then she would have time to come home and see her
this
father.
This is fantastic.
Who's crying because he doesn't have a jukebox anymore.
Kids, where do you want to go for dinner?
Amato!
Now Jim Amato is going to sell a veggie burger.
Amato burgers.
I love beef, but I'll take this.
You'll not believe the incredible Michael Mara burger.
This Amato veggie burger is fantastic.
Oh, God, these are good.
Welcome to Amato's, Pittsburgh's favorite burger.
It says 100% guaranteed, you moron.
At Amato's, we pack our burgers with top quality cuts of beef and prepare everything with tender love and care.
Did they teach you that here?
Brad.
If you're hungry for laughs, why not try the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show? Supersize the fun with a yearly subscription at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Yeah, don't just stare at it. Eat it.
The best of O'Mara.
When Oscar Santana is off on his many missions around the country and traveling the world, quite often we are blessed to have Sarah Fraser come in and join us on the show, and she is always so generous with her time. And if I have never said it right at the beginning, I want to get it right out of the way. We do not take that for granted. You are wonderful to come in here and sit in, and we love having you. It gives a totally different energy to the show.
Yes.
We, you know, it's great. Aww. It's great to have you. So if I don't say that, thank you for coming in today. We appreciate that. Even with that amazing, sparkly, star-laden sweater thing you're wearing.
You're part of
today.
The Marvel Universe?
I mean,
or?
I pulled out all the stops for Mike.
Wow, look at that.
That's amazing. You are my favorite Mainer, and I love being on your show. Your listeners are amazing. Every time I do this show, I get hundreds of new downloads. I'm so grateful for you. So thank you for having me.
Well, you are a Mainer. We were commiserating on Maine, where I am, and you guys are down in D.C. And the
beautiful
Maine
weather
world,
up there, right?
It's been tough. The people
brutal.
Are out of their bats up here. I mean, they are really, really going out of their minds because it's been rain. And I'm starting to now, because I'm only up here for about 2 months, I'm starting to look ahead on the forecast and see what they've been dealing with. And it might be, look, I've been up here when it's been like that, where summers have been just ridiculously
lost
wet.
Lost summers.
Yeah.
And there's an outside shot it's going to happen all the way up until the time we leave. And then August will be dry like it always is, and that'll be it. But it's great to have you with us. And
thank you.
I have to remember it. The big day for you is coming. You are getting married. You're getting married in Maine, aren't you?
And that's why I chose August, Mike, is because literally in Maine, I would say the best months are August and September. And then beyond that, anything goes. You know, you just never know. So yes, I am less than 2 months away. August 10th, I'm getting married. You've probably been down to Bristol in Pemaquid Point.
I know it. I haven't been there, but I know it. I know of it.
Getting married in Bristol, Maine. We're expecting about 160, 170 guests. So,
a big event.
It's going to be a big event. And, you know, of course, Mainers are excited because we're doing an open bar. So, like, that's all they care about. Like, that
is the guest, look, right there. I've been to them where they were. Rob, didn't we go to a dry wedding together?
What?
I believe we have. I know I've gone to one.
That big man that used to be an intern. Did you go to his wedding?
That was not a dry wedding.
It wasn't?
No, uh-uh.
What?
No, I thought it was dry.
No.
No, the big guy we're talking about is Cannon.
Yeah, there was alcohol at that wedding.
No, there wasn't.
I think I have a picture of me with a beer in my hand. I don't think I snuck it in.
No. Oh, yeah. He is, like, when you're here, he is so snarky already.
No, it's not that.
As opposed to saying you're wrong, it's like, well, I think, Mike, you're an a-hole. And by the way, did I talk about that on last week's show? Oh, not that I remember. Yeah, maybe a little bit. Maybe we did.
Settle down. Settle down. I don't think.
Hey, Diamond.
I don't think it was a dry wedding.
Was it just that the families didn't like each other?
There was that.
Okay. All right.
There was some friction, yeah.
When I know that I've been to a dry wedding reception, and I know that it was, it's always just a little tense.
Oh, they're painful. Because, they're absolutely painful.
Then what you get the equivalent of is it's a Mother's Day celebration. Yep. It's just not, you know.
Yeah.
So what my point is, if you're having an open bar, then congratulations to you, because that is really what makes the world go round.
Yeah, you're already starting at an advantage. You're starting on second base, as they say.
And, you know, we're doing the whole Catholic Church thing. We can only get married from 1 to 2 p.m., which is crazy because we're like cafeteria Catholics. But, okay, so we're...
Is he Catholic as well as you?
No, even less Catholic.
And even less Catholic. Yeah, but at some point in his life, because that's when...
Yes.
If you've been there at least when you were a kid or whatever, at least you know the rules.
Yes.
Right? You know, you can do. Are you having the mass and everything? Are you having
no,
the
No, we're not
formal?
Doing, because the mass now is 90 minutes. No communion. So we're doing 45.
See. Okay.
Oh, see, I get that.
45 minutes.
See, that's cool. I remember, you know, we getting married. Let me see. How many marriages ago did I do that? two. Two marriages. My first marriage was done with a Catholic. We found a hip Catholic guy. Because the first plaintiff was not Catholic, and I was, and we wanted to do it, and he was a sandal wearing Catholic guy, where, you know, he's like a brother but a priest.
Yeah, that sounds
awesome.
All I know is it was chill. He was chill, and my only memory of the Catholic Church where we got married was horrible poison ivy, because my father had required me to clear our yard for the wedding reception, which is where we had it. Yeah, we had it at my sister's wedding reception, and my wedding reception was in our yard.
Oh, okay.
In our sensible Central Connecticut.
Well, I mean, to be honest,
middle class yard.
Your parents gave you a
deal.
Don't
think for a second that we had, you know, that we were on the shore of some resort or something. No, this was our. You know,
even if it was, what do you want to go to the Elks Club? What are we, Rockefellers?
It was, you know what? If they were fine.
Yeah, and, they're fine.
And my sister's was great. I talked about it a little bit yesterday. But that's, you're 160 people. That is a massive endeavor. And is everything going smoothly for you?
It has been. You know, we don't have any rings. So we've had a lot of ring drama. We actually had purchased an engagement ring, but we purchased it. The people that we purchased it from actually are not jewelers. It's basically like getting a ring at Costco. So I'd found this discounted ring that was like a $13,000 ring for $4,000, right? Even less than $4,000. It was like 75% off.
This is now this is the wedding band?
No, this is like the engagement ring. Like, I have no
ring. So you've got a decent ring.
I got a decent rock, 2 carats. It was amazing, right?
Well, you're not wearing it today.
But I'm not wearing it today because when I purchased it, it was a size 7. And the woman that helped us was amazing and so lovely. And she said, oh, I'm sure they can make it into a 5. No problem. So we took the ring. And they took it. They shipped it off to their jeweler. They brought it back. It was too big. So I immediately tried on. I'm like, well, this doesn't fit. And so she goes, oh my gosh, oh dear. Okay. So sends it back to the jeweler.
For those price points, even with the hefty discount, for Christ's sake, get your ring together.
Yeah,
get it together,
lady.
Please. She sends it back to the jeweler and he goes, yeah, you can't take a size 7 ring to a 5. Even adding beads to it will compromise the diamonds on the side. So they call me. They said, you got to come back in, find a new ring.
So are you saying that the setting on the sides is beautiful too? That you've got some smaller,
it was
some
a
smaller
stunner.
Pieces on the side with the big rock?
It was amazing. But
I refuse to bead this ring. Refuse.
I've got a solution for you.
What?
Masking tape.
Oh, I know. That's what they said.
Or a high sodium diet.
Yeah. That's it. Just like, hey, you know what? Before you get the fitting, load
idea,
up on Stouffer's lasagna.
Okay.
Just go in there and just have some Progresso soups.
More stuffing, Miss Frazier.
Or your bag of Ruffles. You'll be all set. Eat a bag of Ruffles, drink 10 Gatorades, and then walk in there.
It fits.
Can't get it off. Only problem is if you do that, Mike, the diamond looks smaller.
So what's the status with the diamond?
I need one. I have no ring. I have no ring. We are less than 2 months away. I have no engagement ring. We have no bands. You know, we are just like, that is the last stressful thing. The dinner's ready. The cocktails are ready. Everything is good. No rings.
But no one's going to, you know, from a distance, obviously, no one's going to really know that. But it, I know you want to walk down the aisle
sure.
with your ring. I get that. I get that. And you know what? Who knows? In a few years, I'll be dealing with that with my daughters, too. You know, if they'll have me at the ceremony. You know, that's, you know.
Trust me, when they start that, pricing it, they'll have you at the ceremony.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure they will. True. Yeah, you're going to get the first invite.
That's fun. So you they can't take a ring
no.
and make it smaller. Yeah, but I guess that's right. They can't take the ring from a. Why can't
what
they do
would
that?
Have, they I think what they a- would I think what they would have to do is probably reset the whole thing.
Yes,
because the value is not in the metal. The value is in the rocks.
How do you know this?
Because
how
I had,
do you know this?
I actually have had a ring built for Carrie with some diamonds that we had in another piece of jewelry.
And at your wedding? At
no,
the
no,
wedding?
This was a 10th anniversary or 15th anniversary present, I think. But also, right. Carrie's engagement ring was my grandmother's ring. And so we had to have that rebuilt as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they can do it, but they would have to start with a smaller circle, I guess, and then
yeah.
reset the stuff in it. How many rocks total? I mean, obviously, there's one big
oh,
one
God,
in the middle,
there were
right?
like a lot. Actually, I feel like I should have texted you guys a picture beforehand. Because we just did our engagement pictures and they took a picture of the old ring.
The Mike O'Mara show is now turned into Bridezilla.
I know, it really is. This is the ring, which would be hard for Mike to see, but it has like...
Oh, it's very complicated.
So yes.
Very complicated.
You're getting married in August, right? You're getting married in
getting
August?
Getting married in August. August 10th.
Any chance
10th.
This can be resolved? Because obviously if you've got that kind of value in the ring, I mean, what are you going to do? What's
well,
the option?
Well, we've brought it back. We're working with them to try to find a different ring, a solution, and we're looking for other rings because we can, you know, we'll figure it out.
Holy crap. Look
I loved
at that.
It.
That. I feel like I'm watching a scene from Ocean's 11. That's incredible.
Yeah. It looks like
I feel like Leonardo DiCaprio is going to come out with his, with his South African accent and go, yes, we feel it deep in the mines. We feel it deep in the mines. Listen, I've got a friend that you might want to call.
Oh, really?
I have, yeah. His name is Ron Mervis.
Oh, I know Ron.
Yeah, Ron Mervis.
Yes.
Really talented guy. Knows his way around a nice piece of jewelry. And you should
I suggest you turn it into a necklace. Yeah.
I should show you mine. You see my wedding band?
Oh, Mike, there's nothing there.
I've not
yours?
Lost one. I've lost, I'm on my second one that I've lost. And
this has to be recent because you had it fairly recently, right?
All right. Golf and wedding bands don't always mix.
Okay.
Golf and wedding. Okay. Golf and wedding bands don't always mix.
I don't wear
okay?
a wedding band. It makes
so
me fall
I,
down.
Mrs. O'Mara has said that she wants to. I guess there are a lot of different kind of wedding bands now. Environmentally friendly wedding
yes.
bands. They're like rubber wedding bands. They're different. She wants to, do something different. So, but I mean, I'm not holding my breath. So that's it.
Oh my God, that's a brilliant idea. You need the rubber one.
That's my original one
so
right there.
I get back to it once again. Is there a chance you will have your gorgeous diamond ring for your wedding day? Will it be able to be fixed?
It's 50-50 because if I go back to the place that I originally got it, they, because they're really not jewelers, they basically are the middleman, they have to custom order the new ring that I like, and it would be really pushing it that it would be here August 10th.
I have a vision of her. Do you remember like when girls would get a ring in high school, the class ring, and they just wrapped yarn around it? Lots and lots
yes,
of yarn.
Yes.
So you could do that. That would be a good fix. Nice.
I don't remember what the rings the girls wore in high school. I don't.
You would give a girl your ring, your class ring, if you were dating.
Oh, I never did. I never had success in high school.
This
like
is
that.
The new one that
I
found.
But I had great success in jewelry.
Okay,
in high school.
Good. Let me see. She's showing you the ring.
Okay, this is the new one that I found, which is like already an upgrade.
Oh, wow.
I know.
What,
so
this is another
this
ring?
Is this another
entire ring?
Right.
So this is not a sentimental grandma's ring.
Oh,
or
hell no.
Mm-mm. That was handed down. Mm-mm. So you can basically. So let me see that one. Oh, look, oh my God. Look at that.
I mean, it's good to be in podcasting, Mike. Don't
hey,
you know?
Bling. They had to change the show to Hey, Bling,
hey, bling.
Instead of Hey, Phrase. So get that one. I would
hey,
get that
bling.
One. Screw the other. By the way, I think they can. I think they're being pains in the ass.
Really? You think?
They can. Yeah.
Why?
Yes.
Why
because
would they
it's
do
one
that?
Thing.
Because it's metal.
It just seems to me. It's a 7 to a 5. You're not going from Melissa McCarthy's hand. down to Shelley Duvall's hands.
Wow.
Was
that a good one?
You can really paint a picture.
It's like, here's my ring.
Oh, Popeye.
It should be fun. But outside of the ring, because I'm bored talking about the ring already. I don't want to hear
Yeah, let's move on.
It, let's talk about, but I love weddings. I love weddings. And the thing about it is you are, how much input did your husband have, your future husband have? Is it all you? Because you seem like a pretty high energy individual.
Mostly me. He's like, pick out whatever you want within reason. You know, we had decided we did not want to go into debt for this ring because we've looked at many jewelry stores, some very high end ones that you'll know in the DC area. And it's like, I just can't see spending $15,000 right now on the ring. And then that doesn't even include his band, my, it's just crazy to me. So I want something that looks very expensive, but in reality is probably fake. You know,
he's a chill guy. He's a chill guy.
He's a chill guy, whatever you want.
And he's been through a lot too. We should mention that Sarah's marrying Matt Lauer.
Yes, it's true.
And so it should be, you know, he's in his house.
Oh, if it's
in
Matt, I'm getting 5 carats. Yeah, absolutely.
No problem at all.
The hardest thing about the wedding was finding a location that allowed him to go with his ankle bracelet. So,
so you're excited, right? This is getting close to the to go time, and everything's no cold feet. Or anything like
None.
That?
Do you know? I mean, we've been together 6 years. We've definitely been on again, off again. We've had all the highs and lows. We're in therapy. We'll always be in therapy. I could go on and on.
But you know, that's
first marriage for you both?
Okay.
First marriage for us both.
Oh, the first one's always great, Mike.
Wow.
That's a dig at me.
No.
A dig at me again.
I got that.
You know what? I was married a little young, and that didn't work out. Then I was married, and, that was kind of a surprise too, where I didn't see it. I didn't see it coming. And now I found someone tougher than I am, which is what I needed all along.
Right.
Wow.
I needed somebody tougher. And my wife is tougher than me. That's why my wife was stacking wood last night outside of our home up here in Maine. And why I came down.
New England. I love this.
Yeah, so New England. But I come down like, little Lord Fauntleroy, and I walk up and I go, oh, I thought you said you were going to do the whole job. Stacking wood. To my wife. I am not lying. That's what. And I came back. And she said she's taking little pieces of wood, 4 and 5 at a time, over to this stack that we're putting together.
Right.
I am taking them daintily in my hands, these two little wood logs, and taking them 2 at a time over this.
Mike,
at
least you didn't open the window from the second floor, wave a handkerchief, and say, watch out for splinters.
Yes, be careful. No, I said to her, this is how much of a wimp I am when it's just the three of us up here. So I can completely be myself. My comment to her was, I thought you were finished and you were asking me to come down and look at it.
Oh, she wanted help.
No, she wanted me to help. How dare her?
What a
she
jerk.
Wants me to come down. And the mosquitoes are so thick at that time of day. It's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right, the worst time.
And it's so thick that I sucked one into my lungs.
Oh!
Oh!
And, you know, and then again, by the way, Mrs. O'Mara, she has a decent rock, too.
I bet she does. Yeah. I bet hers is gorgeous.
She caught me right at the end of my earning potential.
Ooh,
right
smart
at the end, right
woman.
Before, right before I fell off the cliff. I bought it in San Francisco, in a building which was called like the Diamond District, in a standalone multi-level building. And I went from floor to floor where they all had these diamond merchants, and I got her ring and gave it to her in Napa, in wine country.
Oh my God! Did she pick it out or you picked it out?
I picked out the entire thing. I did the whole thing myself, and I remember
she didn't cry.
She didn't cry when I proposed.
She like loved it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. She. Well, normally you cry when you know it's like, oh my God, I'm so happy. She wasn't. She was just like looking
Carrie
at
cries
her
a lot.
Yeah. Oh gosh. that's
okay. You said that. I did not.
It's true.
You said that.
I did.
So wedding bells.
I cried too.
Wedding bells. For
okay.
Sure. I still think. I think I've got the mosquito in my
lungs.
Yeah,
it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad, right?
I really think it's still there.
Oh, really?
Or some terrible disease that I have.
Do you think it's alive?
No, it's dead.
Oh,
it's
thank
dead.
God.
It was dead by the time it got into my lungs, but
thank
now
God.
It's there. So the wedding, one final word on the wedding.
Yeah, of
so
course.
So you've got the 160, the hubby's cool, you're cool, you're in therapy. How often do you go to therapy?
We go once a month, and it really helps us communicate because we both work a lot. We're very busy. Mm-hmm. This probably comes as no surprise to you two, but I'm like emotionally very needy. So
you're in this business. It can't be any other way. I mean,
yeah,
it's us and people in show business.
That's right.
It's ridiculous.
Look
My
at
relationship
Maddie.
Is best when it's about me. And that's not really exactly realistic.
Right,
so
right.
It really helps us communicate. Yeah, it's totally
good.
Saved us. I always say to him, there's no way I could ever be with anyone not being in therapy.
It sounds like you said you have ups and downs. It sounds like you're at a big up right now.
Big up.
That's
big
great.
Up.
That's great.
Yeah, call me in 6 months. When I do the show in the fall and we're getting divorced, it'll be all good. Like, I'll be like, why didn't you guys say anything about the therapy part? It'll be a whole story.
Learn.
I don't care.
We have very active listeners. You know,
yes, we
where
do.
Are you, and I'm going to do a solid for you right now.
Okay, tell
where
me.
Where are you registered? Where are you registered?
Crate and Barrel, Bloomingdale's, and actually this Georgetown Pottery place in Maine. But our guests have told us that our registry is pathetic. That, like, we do not have that much stuff on it.
Oh, you didn't really go overboard with the wish list?
The only thing I want is a brand new Le Creuset dinnerware. And you guys know, like,
listen
one...
Listen to that. You'll get it on this
that's,
show.
That's
you'll
what I it. Got you and Carla. Did you know
did
that?
Did you?
Yes.
It's so
you
expensive.
Got us what did you get, Le Creuset?
A Le Creuset casserole with lid.
Each casserole dish is like $250.
They're great, though. God,
they're amazing,
they
right?
They're the best.
Yeah, in Fort Myers, they have an outlet.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Have I turned this show into a total chick show? She's got a strong personality.
She does.
You see how I succumb to it right away? I'm talking about effing wedding rings and Le Creuset like cookware.
You see,
listen to what I'm doing
here. I want
to
talk about you.
Every other time that she's not here.
We had a Stanley Cup final last night, for Christ's sake.
All right, let's start talking
but
guy
talk. But
this
is actually cast iron coated with porcelain and it wears forever.
And we have the yaks that are coming up.
Oh, true enough.
As well.
True enough.
No, but look, I'm a romantic, so I
Me
think
too.
It's great when people are getting married.
Yes.
And you know, I'm going to give my wife a little, I don't do this very often on the show, but really this has been our time up here. I said it to her last night. I said, I love this time of the year where we are up here. Nobody's up here. It's just us. And we just connect and it's fun. And our life is so simple. There's nothing, you know, you hear about it on the show. It's great. I'm
all that time to sit in the living room and type.
And we both got,
all work,
you know, at the
no
railroad
blame.
Salvage store. We both got matching recliners.
It's a great
how
time to be alive.
How incredibly special is that?
That is how you guys are meant to be.
Yes.
Life is full.
And by the way, okay, Rob, have you ever been to Bar Harbor? I mean, Mike literally lives in like the greatest part of Maine.
Oh,
like,
Mike has taken me by boat to Bar Harbor, where we actually are. It's fantastic.
It's
and
unbelievable.
And what's incredible, we talked about it yesterday, Sarah, when you come up here, the ice cream store here has a new special.
Ooh.
It's a special delivery for an ice cream cone.
Yeah.
Just grease up your butt and they'll shove it right there. That's what they're doing at the ice cream store.
Oh, wow.
Yes, you can start the show.
Hey, humans, it's me, Winslow, Mike's Boston Terrier. Do you know I'm smart? In fact, I'm wicked smart. I even watch TV. I like movies like The Departed. My theory on feds is that they're like mushrooms. Feed them and keep them in the dark. Woof. Sometimes I eat too. That's relatable. Goodwill Hunting is another one that I like. Do you like apples? Well, I got a number. How do you like them apples? That's funny. Ted is funny, too. You, Thunder, you can suck my... You can't get me, Thunder, because you're just God's fat. That scene made me howl. Literally. But the bonus show is even funnier. Buy the TMOS bonus show at michaelmarishow.com. If you buy a lot of them, I get a greenie and a Blu-ray player. See ya. Gotta visit the fire hydrant. Johnny on the spot.
The best of O'Mara.
So the dog is skittish.
Mm-hmm.
And then they revealed to us that he wasn't really surrendered, that he was basically a wild dog in West Virginia.
And you are in the middle of what is a shopping mall outside a bank.
Yeah, I'm outside of a bank.
About to receive your foster dog.
And because we've been waiting for first the car to get there and then third to get our dog, it's about 95 degrees in direct sunlight because it's 12 noon. The sun is streaming down.
But it's skipper time.
It's skipper. No, clipper.
Clipper time.
Clipper time. Stop.
Sorry.
Clipper time.
Yeah. I like Clipper.
So he, you know what?
Why do I think it's Skipper?
He's got a sweet face.
Yeah.
And when I see how he is and the way that he has been treated up to now, I want to help this dog out.
Yeah. Well, look, we're a glutton for punishment.
Right.
So if anything, you could break this dog into a loving family, which is yours.
So they open the gate of the cage.
Do that, yeah.
Yeah. And he backs all the way back into the corner where the poop is.
Oh.
And he's shaking. And growling.
Aww.
And they're trying to get... And
they
got,
can't trank these guys?
Too late for that.
Okay.
They've got that kind of leash that's almost like a... I don't want to say a noose, but you know, it's a big long rope with a loop that you put on and then you tighten. It's not the kind of like a clip deal.
Because
it's got to go over the cone.
On, what is it, Animal Planet.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they can't get to him because not only is he in the far back of the cage, he's doing the figure eight with his head, he's fighting the whole thing. And she says, okay, this is the local lady. She says, I'll open the side of the, there's a side door on the cage as well. That way we can get to him. So she moves over to the side.
How big is this crate?
The crate is probably, it's for a medium-sized dog, so I'd say it's probably 18 inches by 18 inches by 2 feet.
Was it in a van or back of a pickup?
It was in the back of a crossover vehicle that they took out and put on the ground.
Got it.
So she opens the side gate, and then the most horrible thing you can imagine, the dog bolts.
Oh,
out the front, gone.
No.
100 miles an hour in the middle of the city. He runs into the street. I hear screeching tires. I see him almost get hit.
Oh, no.
5 times. And it's utter chaos right away because everyone screams, which is not going to help the dog stay calm. Yeah. Remember, there's 3 families there and the crew and the lady from the place. And then she says the greatest thing. Don't chase him. Don't chase him. But you have to because
Why
he's running.
You chase him?
Because he will not come back if he's being pursued. Apparently that's in doggy DNA. But it's so counterintuitive. We're all trying to chase him.
Oh, man.
He runs into traffic. Runs back, runs through by us. No one can get him because he's never within.
Runs back by you?
Yeah, never within 20 feet of anybody. Turns back around and then off. Of course, the bank backs up to the woods.
Yeah.
So he's into the woods.
Mm.
And it was the most heartbreaking, horrifying thing.
Terrifying.
And then, you know, and then we're looking at, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And then for the next 2 minutes, every time you hear a horn beep or a tire screech or something like that, you're thinking it's dead dog time. So
or hurt dog.
We all break up and we start walking around.
The 3 families.
Yeah. No, the other 2 families with their other dogs, they're pretty much gone by now.
They left.
Yeah. You know, that's like, well, sorry, you have to deal with that. And I was so totally thrown by the initial thing. Then I was sad. And then I was scared.
I was scared.
And then, she's going through the same thing.
Oh,
and then after about 5 minutes, we just get so wickedly pissed off because the whole thing was handled so badly. If the cage had been taken anywhere inside.
I need to know who let the dog out.
Who?
I didn't mean it that way.
I thought you were perhaps doing a Baja method. No, the lady from the Leesburg shelter was the one that apparently had it all under control.
God.
And she...
This is not a funny story.
No, it's not. It's horrifying.
And
so she said to me, you know what? This has never happened.
Oh, I feel so bad for you.
And I looked at her and Clipper. I said, it has now.
Yeah.
Because it is so... if nothing else comes of this, I hope they change their policy of how they do the dog transfer. Literally in a parking lot. There's no sword sides to it.
I don't think there's anything you could have done. You're deferring to the expert. The expert's supposed to give you at least the guidance.
I was ready to receive the leash, okay?
You start thinking about, like, what could you have done? I'm sure you start second guessing yourself.
Of course. That's mainly what we do.
But I would say that you get a full – first, you're there to do what most people wouldn't do, is taking a dog that didn't have a home and hopefully find him a home.
Right.
And by the way, we have this powerful platform here that, like, what if Clipper ended up being a good dog and we could highlight him on the show, right?
Wonderfully. Wonderfully.
So where are you at now? What are the next
– step?
Chip. Has to have a chip. Any dog come from a shelter has to have a chip.
Funny you should say that.
Yes.
This West Virginia shelter did chip him.
Oh, good.
They did not activate the chip.
Oh.
So it's essentially like having a dead battery in your pocket.
What? How do you... I don't know how this chip works.
The chip would be that if the dog was found, his information would be encoded to it, and you scan it, and it would come up.
So that's what I thought.
Yeah, but it's not on there. He's got a chip in him.
He's got a blank chip on it?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no.
So what we do is we really start walking up and down the middle of downtown Leesburg, right? Yeah. What is essentially Route 7.
Yes.
And we,
I don't know if Santos has been chipped. This is actually crazy.
You probably got to get him chipped.
I'm sure.
Double check.
My wife does all the work with him. I'm sure he is.
Now, have you had Shannon chipped?
No.
Okay, well, you know, that's probably, she's more likely to run away than he is.
Probably. I come home like, oops, well, maybe she's still here. I don't know.
Look for her. She's wearing a cone.
Like, I've had enough is enough. This great life's been boring.
We walk probably, you know, probably half mile each direction, going into every business. By the time we give up, that we say he's been feral. We'll look for him around water features because there's streams in Leesburg. He's probably going to find water. But I talked to the lady and the man from West Virginia. He said he is right now so terrified he's hiding.
Oh.
If he's going to come out at all, he'll come out at night. And he won't come out now.
Mm.
So you best go home. We've notified animal control. So Leesburg Animal Control knows. We've not heard word one from animal control. We've not heard word one from the shelter. So I don't know where it stands. The thing that scares me the most is that this poor dog is running around with this cone, which is not natural for a dog. And if he's trying to hide with a cone, he could get stuck somewhere.
Yes.
And so, I mean, I know we have a lot of listeners around Loudoun County, around Leesburg. If you see a dog where he shouldn't be with a cone, just please notify me, call animal control, do something. Mm-hmm. It's not right. This dog is not safe. And I got home and I sat down, I looked at Carrie and she said, this is an effing nightmare. I said,
oh,
it is.
No.
It is, because even though we're not at fault, I feel somehow part of it. And it was a very, very horrifying thing to watch.
It's not. I like to pile on. That's not your place. And really, the expert made a mistake.
Huge.
They made a mistake. It's huge. Is there anything we can do?
I have the dog's picture on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
Take a look. If you see this dog and you're in the area of Leesburg, just keep your eye out. That's all I'm saying. And also, what we can do is, if you are in the process of doing a dog transfer, do it smart.
Yeah.
Don't give them the opportunity to run away, especially
if close the front and then open the side.
Well, if there's any sort of X factor, obviously this lady knew nothing about this dog, didn't know really what his past was, didn't know anything about how he was going to react. And if we had done this transfer,
I'm pissed for you.
Say we had taken that cage into my home and then let him out.
Yeah.
He could run all day and he'd be inside.
Would have been fine.
Exactly.
Like, all right, we're good.
But the whole process of I questioned the fact of doing that transfer in a park. It felt shady. Mm. Felt like a sweaty handshake deal. And I just thought, you know what? They've done this before. That's another thing I learned. Second guess yourself sometimes. Don't just say that they know what they're doing, because sometimes they don't.
You're right, but look, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
This is nothing to do with that. I feel like I question a lot of things that are going on, and I have a good gut of people that actually, like, this is what they do for a living.
Right.
So as you get older, you start realizing, and I see where you're coming from. You're like, this is what you do for a living. I'm going to trust that you're going to do this correctly.
Right.
I probably have other bigger fish to fry, but me standing there watching you cable something is not when you do this for a living.
Yeah.
I should probably back away. I would have been in the same boat you are when it comes to pet transfer or even you're in a state of emotion that you're like, you're bringing in this dog.
Right.
And I know you, like, you wear your heart on your sleeve.
Yeah.
So you're more excited about, I can't wait to help this little guy out.
And it really sort of,
you're not worried about, I can't wait to make sure this guy doesn't run away from us right now.
I had all my faith in the fact they were going to do what they were going to do. And actually my enthusiasm towards the adoption, the fostering, had doubled because I saw this was a broken guy, you know? And I said, oh, we can make this guy have a good life. He's had a really bad month and we can fix that. And then he's gone.
Oh God, this is tough.
So anyway, we plan to foster, but not through the same agency. So that's where we're at.
Maddie, if you don't mind, now that you're back, let's work on some sort of small social video to make, we can just spread and see.
Sure,
if people,
I would
find
love
them.
That. Absolutely. I would think that'd be great.
Is there a hotline you can call for the Leesburg Animal Shelter?
I have a phone number. Yeah, I do.
And you've called.
I have. Well, we are in touch not only with them, but also with the lady who was the lady at fault. The Leesburg lady.
The lady who let the dog out.
Yeah, exactly. So there's been no leads as of yet.
Damn.
But we'll just keep your eyes open, folks. And you know what?
Clipper.
As I said, no good deed goes unpunished.
I wouldn't even know what to do, man. Damn. I'm so sorry for you.
It was not a great weekend.
Like, what do you do after that?
I drank a lot. A lot. I mean, a lot.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.